Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Daniel in the Den of Lions, covering Daniel chapter 6, verses 13 through 28. This is part 2 of 2.
Powerless. And all I could do was hold on. And I was amazed. I didn't do it for that reason, and I didn't expect, I didn't even think about it. Had no consciousness of it, how many people were watching me. And in the weeks and months after making it through that den experience, people come to me and tell me that really spoke to them. Your faith is real. It really left an impression on me. But of course, if you won't grow now, then when that time comes, you're probably going to fail the test. And sadly, you're going to fail those people. And that's going on too much today. Way too much. And you look at his words, the cry itself was evidence of faith. Servant of the living God. Think of the people in your life that are not Christians. And I want to tell you, if there's ever a time comes where they walk up to you and they say, "Well, you know, I'm not really a Christian, but I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for me." You know what they're saying to you? Jenny, servant of the living God. Fill in the blank with your name. When someone comes up to you and says, "I'm not a Christian, but I want you to pray for me," they're saying, "Charity, Martha," we'll have to hit them all now or they're going to get mad at me, "Brian, Diana," fill in the blank, "Servant of the living God." That's what they're saying to you. They won't say those exact words, but when they come up to you and they ask you to pray for them, even though they're not even saved, they're saying they recognize your God is real, your relationship with God is real. They know that you have a real God and a real relationship with God. You won't have, if you understand what a person's doing when they do that, you won't have much better moments in your life of encouragement. Someone comes up to you like that and you know they're not a Christian and they ask you to pray for them, you just had confirmation. A word of confirmation. Read verses 21 and 22 with me. "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Daniel says, my conscience is clean, my slate is clean, and I believe his words are prophetic. I believe the king will live forever. I believe we're going to see Darius in heaven. O king, live forever. That's going to be fun. I mean, you just think about some of these guys we're going to get to talk to. Nebuchadnezzar. I think I'm going to get to meet him one of these days. Darius. I hope Cyrus. I mean, God called him unanointed, so I'm hoping he's going to be there, even though there was some issues with some things about him. But God is gracious. How many of you know they call this the dispensation of grace? It's actually not the biblical term. It's the dispensation of the gospel of grace right now. Grace has been from the very beginning with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. That was before this dispensation. And I think God's grace is going to see to it that there are a lot of people in heaven that we may not expect. And what you have there is a wonderful testimony. That's a wonderful testimony. And I believe that, as I said a moment ago, this is reminiscent of Nebuchadnezzar. And you can fill in the blank with other people that we've seen in Scripture like that. But verse 23 says, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because what?
He believed in God."
He believed in his God. You know, folks, that's all God's asking. He just wants you to believe. And of course, if you believe, that means that when He says do such and such, you're going to believe and do that. And when you don't, that's evidence you're not really believing. You know, if I looked at Mariah, when I wouldn't do this now, but there was a time when she lived under my roof and was a little younger, and I said, "You either get that room cleaned up or I'm going to bust your rear end." I come back an hour or two later, and if she hasn't done anything to rectify the situation, she had just told me she didn't believe me. So I had to instill a little faith in the young lady. But, you know, honestly, I didn't have to do that very often with Mariah. I didn't. I didn't have to do that very often with any of the girls. Jenny, on the other hand, had her hands full. Yes. Jenny believed in using the Board of Education. Yes. Applied to the seat of his understanding. But he's just, that's all God wants you to believe Him. And if you believe Him, then there's going to be something to your response to His commandments. And we say, glory to God. There was no seed faith offering. And you won't find Daniel making a positive confession. "In the name of Jesus, I pronounce you lions to become vegetarians. By the laying on of hands." I call it the charismatic playpen today. And it's sad because you've got people walking around and they're saying, "Satan, I bind you. I place you in my toy box." Here's the problem with that. Satan is not omnipresent. Chances are he's not really dealing with you. He's got big fish to fry. Do you understand that? Now, there are devils. Don't get me wrong, there are devils, and we don't know how many. But you got these people walking around and binding Satan. That's the equivalent of me standing up here and saying, "Hold on just a second, I got a call. It's the president. Hey, how are you doing?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, fake news media." Yeah. Then you find out that what I'm listening to on the other end is a recording. But I think it's Donald Trump. I'm convinced, but it's a recording. That's the equivalent of these charismatics running around claiming to be binding Satan. It's goofy. It's not real. And the Bible, Jesus made a comment about whatsoever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. But He never told you to walk around saying, "I bind you." He never said to say that. So how do you know He meant to speak anything? See my point? And we don't have time to go cover all that. But you saw that out of Daniel right here. There was nothing like that to it. He just simply believed God. And God simply delivered. Amen? Amen? And again, just like Jesus, it says in Matthew 28, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven," and I love this, "and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." These angels got class. That's all I can say. I mean, yeah. "His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And to this day, you can go visit that empty tomb. The stone rolled away. There's no body in there. And that's what I think of when I see Daniel coming out of that den. Amen. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. Now this is kind of ugly. Kind of ugly. And they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Doesn't look like they were toothless. Yeah, and it looks like a big bunch of them. And look, even before they hit the bottom. I mean, they were dropping these people in there, and before they even hit the bottom, the lions devouring them. And so that looks kind of funny. But first of all, look, God didn't do that. Darius did. Okay? And number two, that was the law. Because of what they did, the law of the Medes and Persians was if you set somebody up, you remember the story of Haman? Set up the gallows to hang Mordecai in the book of Esther. Who hung? And his seven sons. See? That didn't have any, God didn't say to do that. That was the law of the land. And folks, there's consequences. It's not pretty, but there are consequences to our choices. And the consequences for rejecting the Jesus who rose from the dead is in Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, folks, that's as clear as can be, and I constantly get people telling me, they'll hear one of our old studies or something, they'll say, why do you keep saying people die and go straight to hell? They don't go to hell until after the judgment. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the moment the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. The Bible says that hell is emptied for the judgment. Hell then is cast into the lake of fire. And those whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire where death and hell are. Now that's worse than being eaten by lions. And you have a choice. Every sinner you meet should hear the gospel. And then the choice is theirs. And you can rejoice in knowing you gave them the gospel so that they might be saved. But that's where your part ends. Your ministry isn't... I've seen people saying they got a new ministry. And they go... These people did this last year or two, some time ago. They'd stand in the public parks with a sign that says, We love... And they said that was their ministry. And they felt like by doing that, they were spreading love. That's not your ministry. There was even somebody that I know who was trying to raise a bunch of money because he wanted to get ads in newspapers all over the country where the full-page ad, all that would say was one word, Jesus. And I said, where did the Bible say to just go around saying the word Jesus? Because there's false Jesuses. You better be specific. Or as they like to say on the internet, Pacific. What Jesus? The one who died and paid for your sins. The Muslim Jesus didn't do that. What Jesus? The one who rose bodily from the dead. The Mormon and Jehovah's Witness Jesus was just a ghost. What Jesus? The Jesus who is the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. None of the false cults and false religions believe He was God manifest in the flesh. You better get the right Jesus. Amen. And you have a ministry, and that is to tell folks so that they might be saved and not be cast into a lake of fire. Now, you can do other things. Don't get me wrong. I think Meals on Wheels is a good program. But if you're doing that and not preaching the gospel, you're wasting your time. Do both. I didn't say not to do Meals on Wheels. You do both. And I'm going to save embarrassment. There's a couple of people listening right now who have done Meals on Wheels and preached the gospel. God bless you. I know you'd be embarrassed if I mentioned, so I won't do it. I don't care what you do. If you can do that and preach the gospel, great ministry. Great ministry. So this final section we'll close up with, and just quick reading here, and then I want to read two things. First, we're going to close this chapter. And this would drive the liberals crazy if this happened in the United States of America. And actually, when Donald Trump made the speech about the Vegas thing, it drove the liberals crazy. He talked about God. He talked about prayer. He talked about all these things. And the liberals were going, I'm melting. I was like, liberals, please melt. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. So this is an address to the United Nations of Daniel's day. Verse 26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For He is the living God and steadfast forever, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. Oh boy, wouldn't you love to have somebody stand up in Congress and just read that? But it will happen during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. That will be literally fulfilled completely from one end of the flat earth to the other. Amen? A little reality check there. We actually do believe, I just want to mention this, we do believe in the constitutional concept that government should not establish a religion. Our Constitution does not say that it's the Constitution says they will not establish a religion. It also goes to say they will not prohibit the free exercise thereof. That means I can pray when I want to. I can talk about Jesus when I want to. Every public school in America is a child abuse system today because they tell children that they are outlawed from mentioning Jesus, praying in school, and that's a lie. But the adults are letting them get by with it. And I've told the kids, you take your Chick Tracks to school, and the only time you don't give them out is during class time. Same to your adults at work. Work. But when you have a break, before or after clocking in, you can talk about Jesus. And you can give out Chick Tracks. And whatever else you want to do, as long as it's not harassment. Amen. Imagine what it'd be like if everybody did that. But we do not believe in establishing Christianity as the religion of the United States of America and having a denomination, because what happens then is they tax everybody to fund that state church, and then it becomes dead. People go in to become ministers for the benefits and not for the ministry. That's what's happened to the Anglican Church. The reason England is dying today is because of their anti-biblical practice of the Anglican Church being a state church. And if the English people had any brains at all, they'd put a stop to that. They'd also kick the Queen out of the country, but that's another story. And the state church is anti-Christian. And so that's why we're opposed to that. And every attempt at world dominion by sinful man, you mark this down, ends in death, bloodshed, and destruction. Study history. Every time a state church system set up, people like you die. Bible believers get killed. Every time. Even happened with Calvin. Geneva. They just had a city. And next thing you know, Bible believers are going to prison and being killed. Only King Jesus. Only King Jesus. There should not be a global government until Jesus returns to rule and reign. Anybody tries to get you involved in the whole one world thing, I hope you've got enough brains to realize if you push for a one world government, you're slitting your own throat. Verse 27. He, talking about God, delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So like the psalmist, he's basically... If you compare what King Darius says here, it's very similar to the Psalms, praising God and giving Him glory for His wonderful works. Psalm 40, verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and and Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Think that one through. Psalm 145:5, I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. I just sometimes read the Psalms just for a pick-me-up. It's better than coffee. Read that in the morning. Yeah, I mean, start your day off with the Psalms. You'll find it will improve your day. And it's good practice because we're going to praise the Lord forever. Amen? In God we boast all the day long, not true about most people, and praise Thy name forever. Amen. Psalm 44:8. One more. Psalm 145:1. I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Phew. And as an obedient believer, you can't lose. Even if the lions had devoured Daniel, he wins. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. But even if he had been devoured by the lions, he wins. I love his country song. Sorry, Jim. But there's this really good country song. And I don't know who wrote it. But it says... The chorus basically says, threaten me with heaven. You ever heard that? It's threaten me with heaven. It's talking about somebody who the doctor says probably not going to make it. Got a terminal illness. And he said, you can't threaten a Christian with heaven. Daniel, if the lions had devoured him, he goes to heaven. You remember Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Just turn back a couple pages. I'm going to close with this, but I want to read that again. Just a couple verses there. Daniel chapter 3, beginning verse 13. Daniel 3, beginning verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse 15, now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Yes. Nebuchadnezzar had come around. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, meaning we don't have to think twice about it. It's like we're talking about that little clip I played, was that last week, where the silly little people on AFR radio couldn't answer who Revelation 17:1 is talking about. Guy says, "Is that Rome?" And Jim said, How long does it take to say the word yes?" And they claimed they didn't have enough time to answer the question because they only had 30 seconds when they had actually 120 seconds. And then the next program would go for 2 hours. But they didn't have enough time to say yes. So they didn't have to think twice about it. Verse 17, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." That's a positive confession. They have faith. But then he said, "And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King." But watch what they mean by that. Read verse 18. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." He said, He will deliver us. Then he said, they say, "But if not, we still will not bow." Because you couldn't threaten them with heaven. Glory! I've thought that so many times through the years. What would I do? It's a challenging thought. I'm not going to stand up here and beat my chest and say, "Well, I know for sure I would not quiver, I would not quake. I would stand and declare my faith in God." You know, I hope I would. I hope I would. But stuff happens. Things happen. And what we need to do is pray that God will give us that kind of faith. Johnny?
Yeah, this was something interesting that I thought while we were going over. Because the part, of course, at the end where the men who accused Daniel, they're thrown into the lions, and you know, them and their wives and children. So it made me think of the fact, though, that normally God doesn't do things like that if He were to choose. Because I remember...
Achan. Pretty much everybody who was above a certain age in the land of Canaan didn't enter. For the sins of the father, yes.
Right.
But also keep in mind that we're talking the difference between what can happen right here and now compared to eternity. No child is going to go to hell for anything other than them becoming mentally mature enough to know right and wrong and rejecting God, rejecting the gospel.
So.
Yeah. So it goes both ways. It's according to what we're talking about that's going on and that sort of thing. But you say, well, how does that work? One way we can say it works is if a... King David, just read the life of King David. His sin affected his family till we lost track of a lot of his family, and the only ones we really knew were the ones in the genealogy of Jesus. None of them are going to be judged for eternity because of David. Who over here I saw? Brian?
So, growing up, I was always told that hell was a place that had fire and all that things, but
yes.
Revelation says that hell would be thrown into the lake of fire.
Yes.
So, does that mean hell is more like holding stone?
So, there's a difference, but... We don't know specifics, but it does say in Luke 16 that the rich man was in torment, and that there were flames. It's not the lake of fire. We don't know specifics, but we do know it's a different place. But you don't want to be either place.